Bill, I hope you're doing well. Welcome into the game in Tuscaloosa.
Thanks, Ryan. Nice talking to you. Hadn't seen you since the day after after the game.
Yeah, and I'll say this. You and I ran into one another at the rest area. It was a sad trip from New Orleans northbound, and it seems like it was a somber attitude between all the Alabama fans.
It was a much longer drive than I remember it being.
Me too. Same here.
You know, and it was, you know, leaving, well, not even just leaving the stadium, being in the stadium the other night and then leaving and talking to Alabama fans. I think all of us were a little confused, obviously disappointed, not really sure what we had just seen. And I still feel a little that way, even though last night softened the blow somewhat.
All right, let's go back, and we're going to talk about both games because I want to sort of let you sort of focus in on both games. But let's go back to last Thursday night. In your opinion, what went wrong?
You know, it's hard to say other than I felt like since the LSU game, Ryan, that we have not played as good since the LSU game. I felt like LSU was the most complete game that we had played, and the team in all phases of the game played up to par. I don't know if it became complacency. It seemed like the other night in watching the sidelines that even when we were behind, there were some that didn't seem to be too upset about it. And after the game, I know that AJ made some comments about needing more leaders and leadership, and it seemed like there was a lack of that and that there were some people playing for individual honors. You know, there were so many things that if we want to get down to football, I mean, I didn't think the offensive line play obviously was as good as it had been. I think penalties, there were a lot of penalties. There were a lot of blown assignments. There were just a plethora of things that we could talk about, but I guess complacency and maybe attitude was the biggest thing.
We're talking to Bill Searcy, offensive lineman back in the 70s here at the University of Alabama. He won a couple of national titles, had a chance to represent the University of Alabama, and was a big part of that success here in the late 70s, one of the best decades ever in college football, and we continue to talk about that. Going back to the Oklahoma game, you know, and I'm not throwing one player or saying that it was one particular player, but sometimes when you're a highly thought of NFL draft pick, that you are expected to be that guy. We've seen players before. They reserve themselves. They don't play with 100%. That was more of what it was to me than sometimes just getting beat, because we know the talent is there. Sometimes I think they were saving themselves, not trying to get injured. And if you play that, sometimes it's likely that you will get injured trying to play that, you know, this preventative method. But it seems like that was part of the problem as well.
With you. You know, like you said, without picking out any individuals, I totally agree with that, because those people have played pretty well or better all year. I don't think Oklahoma by any means was the best team that we had played. I don't think they had the best assembly of individual talent that we had played. I just think that they came mentally prepared to play. They knew they had nothing to lose. And I felt like there were some guys on our team, though, that also had that attitude of, you know, I just need to get through this game and get on about my business and go to, you know, maybe go to the Senior Bowl and make a good showing there and you know, get to the NFL draft. And that's a sad thing to say, but that's what it looked like to me also, Ryan.
Bill, I want to go back, and I'm going to read a quote that I quoted last night from Nick Saban. It was well after the game, but one of his final comments talked about what's the biggest thing that Jimbo Fisher and Florida State and Winston and everybody else is going to have to deal with. And this was his quote: when you have success, there's another challenge. It is getting people able to deal with success and still want to be successful. That is a huge quote. And I'm sure that's something that you can relate to back in 1978, 1979.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, before you have that success. And I'm going to relate this to our fans, too, as well as our players and our team and our coaches, and that, you know, we're all hungry. You know, Auburn, and I hate to say that word, but Auburn was hungry this year. They were a good example of that. I think Florida State was very hungry this year. And maybe we weren't quite as hungry as we needed to be. Surely weren't as hungry as we had been for the previous two championships. And I don't think it's something as a player that you can honestly gauge whether you know you're performing up to that level or not. I think that's where the, you know, where the coaches guide you and tell you, hey, I'm telling you, we're not doing what we need to do to win. I think Coach Saban, I'm sure Coach Saban knew it before we did going into the bowl game, that something he saw or didn't see at practice made him believe that we were going to be in trouble. He probably wasn't as surprised as we all were. But, you know, that hunger factor is huge, and that's in everything we do. I mean, it's in life. But surely it's in football, where you have to work harder than everyone else. You have to go earlier and stay later. And I think we lost that drive and that hunger somewhere down the line. And like I said, I feel like it was after the LSU game.
Bill, I don't like to say this because it's hard, but sometimes a loss, especially two losses in a row, can refuel that fire. It can provide kindling to that fire. This may be a good thing for the University of Alabama if they were not going to win the national championship, to lose a couple of games to sort of re-energize that hunger again.
Well, it should re-energize the team. Once again, I hope it re-energizes the fans to be really excited again with everything coming up. Of course, as you know, our season never ends. Now we're gonna dissect recruiting, and then it'll be springtime for the spring game, and we'll be back playing games again soon. So, you know, hopefully it'll excite all of us to get back behind our team, and because they need our support also. And I know that it'll energize the team. I bet you the workouts coming up in the winter will be, they will be highly motivated to win a championship this coming year.
Let's talk about the Auburn game last night. What went wrong for the Auburn Tigers?
Well, you know, to win a championship, it's a lot of skill. You have to have some lucky breaks along the way. Auburn surely had some lucky breaks. They had more than their share this year. And, you know, I think they just finally ran out of breaks. The clock, when Florida State, scored that long return run touchdown, I looked at the clock. I said, that's too soon. Auburn's going to score again, which they did. And, but they needed one more miracle play to pull this one out. It just didn't happen. Hey, they had a great team. I think Florida State, day in and day out, was probably ended up being the best team in the country last night. And so I think they just ran into a great football team. That's all. It's not taking anything away from Auburn. Auburn had a great year, and they played a good game last night. They just ran out of time.
Can you talk about the challenges from the offensive line perspective with Gus Malzahn's system and sort of what they're able to do? Because a lot of folks mentioned that it starts up front on that offensive line in their system.
Well, you know, I can only speculate because I never was. You know, the only thing that I could ever compare that to is our old two-minute drill. And I can't imagine going through the majority of a game in that hurry-up type offense, because number one is, as an offensive lineman, as far as the conditioning factor, you have to be really highly conditioned to run that kind of offense. And also, there's a lot going on down on that line, as you know, in those split seconds before the ball is snapped, there are calls being made, adjustments being made right up to the time of the snap. And so you have to have a bunch of guys that are really well-tuned and playing together to run that type of offense. As far as offensive line goes, it's amazing to me, really, that they can pull it off as well as they do, because just once again from the conditioning factor, you've got a bunch of 300-plus pounders up there, and they're running up and down the field like madmen. And once again, you still have to stick with assignments and make the right calls for all of that to work, they do a great job of it.
Bill, as we look back at college football, you were a player back in the late 70s. Where we are now in 2013, did you ever think that the popularity of college football would arrive to where we are at now, second place in all of the sports behind the NFL?
I guess I never could, Ryan. I mean, I was speaking with someone today about how things just in Tuscaloosa have changed, in the football arena. Just from the stadium, from the production of, you know, the game starts when we kick off, but in Tuscaloosa, they do such a great job of producing a game. So it's like a Hollywood event. And just from all the money that's being generated from the sport, it's just phenomenal. And the old stadium that we played in that was a one-level bowl, you know, with 55,000 seats or so, I think, and you know, coming to Legion Field back in those days, we had, I think it was 85,000. I thought that was the largest stadium, you know, we'd probably ever see. But it's changed a lot. The games, the offenses, defenses they run these days are much more complicated. And the players are probably smarter. I don't think they're better, but they're probably smarter. And it's changed. It's a whole new game. It's a whole different game than what I was used to.
Hey, Bill, let's spend a couple of minutes talking about your book. I know that it's been out for a couple of months, but still a great read for those Alabama fans that are, you know, it's sort of this time of the year. A lot of folks are doing a lot of reading. It's cold weather. You want to stay inside. Talk about the book and how folks can get in touch with you.
Sure. Well, the name of the book is High Tide, A Story of Football, Free Fall, and Forgiveness, Ryan. And it's, in a nutshell, it's really a book about what God can do in our lives if we allow him to. It's my life story, and then how God intervened and saved my life and what he's done in my life since that time. The easiest way to get the book is on Amazon. Or actually, go to my website, which is, of course, www.billcercy.com, S-E-A-R-C-E-Y. There'll be a link for the book there on Amazon. Just click on it and get you a copy of the book. It's $10.99 for a paperback, and there's also a Kindle edition.